You are listening to Punk News Podcast episode 270, the Festacular Edition. And we are back. First of all, we got a special Fest-centric episode today. All you listeners know about Fest down in Gainesville, Halloween weekend. It's a blast. There's over 400 bands this year, I think, plus there's pre-Fest. Mikey Erg's playing about half of the band. So we got a special episode for you today. First of all, we're here with the main man, the Chiefy Weefy, the big boss. We are here with managing editor Adam White. Adam White, what's happening up there in Canada? How's that Canadian brew treating you this week?
I think what I'm drinking is Irish, so I don't really know if that counts. I mean, Canada is going crazy right now because I believe that we just beat Texas. So as far as baseball goes, you know, ha. But, you know, everything else that is not related to baseball, which I have just now exposed my entire knowledge of front to back, is fine.
And the opposite of up there in Canada, way down in Florida, I think, where do you live? Like Marshmallow Kingdom or something, Adam Eisenberg?
It's called Coconut Creek.
Coconut Creek. Adam Eisenberg, news editor, down there in Coconut Creek. It sounds like a Jimmy Buffett song. Adam Eisenberg, you're going to Fest this year. Are you excited?
I'm always excited.
In general, excited for Fest?
Definitely not in general, but for Fest, always.
Do you find that you're usually not an excited person and Fest is the one time of year where you truly come alive?
I wouldn't say it's the one time of year, but it's one of the few times a year. See, what you may not know is a lot of touring bands do not come through Coconut Creek.
Oh, I can believe it. I can believe it.
So Fest for me is like, all right, I'm going to get to see all these bands that honestly a lot of other people get to see throughout the year, like all at once, and other bands that like just, how is this band playing? They don't play, but they come to Fest. So, that's pretty exciting for me. My existence is otherwise pretty mundane.
I got to ask you, Adam, like how far is it in like the Custard Kingdom over where you live there from Gainesville?
It's about 5 hours.
Okay, so it's still a bit of a jaunt. It's not like the next city over or anything.
No, Disney World is about 3 hours away, and then Fest is another 2 hours away.
Is there still within Florida culture shock, or is that something that you're just completely acclimated to? Because like for me, going to Florida is like going to the moon. So, you know, like do you get the sense when you're going to Fest that you're entering this other world that is Florida?
I do, because the southern part of the state where I live is 50% of the people are northern or even Canadian to some degree transplants. So it's much more urban. It's much more like a big northeastern American city. Everybody's wearing shorts. Once you get north of the West Palm Beach area, you're like in the deep south. So
it
yes,
sounds totally
those
horrible
freak
to be
out.
In a city full of elderly Canadians. And I'm sorry about that.
Well, there you have it, people. Gainesville is going to be a party Halloween weekend. And also, here to help us celebrate the Festacular, a Fest veteran. But let me tell you, people, you should be thrilled. You should be honored that you even get to listen to this podcast, because we've got a modern punk rock hero with us tonight. We've got a member of the Unlovables. We've got the band leader of the LLC, the Chris Gethard House Band. We have Haley Belit. Haley, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Haley, thank you so much for being on your show. I'm super excited to have you here. I mean, I think you represent maybe something we don't often have on the Punk News Podcast, someone that's a hip New Yorker that also gets down and dirty in the Gainesville pop punk scene.
That's a great description. Can you write that down for me? I'm going to I'm going to use that as my byline now.
So as you may or may not know, the Unlovables, they're back together. Haley, roughly speaking, the Unlovables got together about 10 years ago. Who was in the band 10 years ago or so?
The band has always been from, it's more than 10 years ago. We actually got together like 2000. This is such a sad thing to use for reference, but when was September 11th was 2001?
Indeed it was.
Okay, so we got together in 2001, and I know this because the band's really always been Mikey and I, and then Frank joined the band like soon after because he actually called us up and he said, well, I lost my job because of September 11th and I don't have anything to do, and I was wondering if I could come down and play with you guys. So Frank's been in the band ever since then. And the original guitarist who really encouraged me to start the band was Christian Steffos. But the lead guitarist has changed around a lot. That was sort of our version of the Spinal Trap drummer. We just could never never keep a lead guitarist for longer than like one album. So yeah, we had Christian and then a couple different people, and then now we have Fid, who played in The Measure SA. We have him playing with us now and on the new record, and he's awesome.
I think what's really cool about the new record is it's unabashed pop punk. I mean, at least the songs that I've heard are straight up pop punk. Haley, pop punk, what's so great about pop punk?
I don't know, it just flows out of me. I don't know why, because I really wasn't looking to write more pop punk songs, but they just like, they come out of me. They're so joyful to write. They're so simple and pleasing. Just like a gratification. I don't know, a very simple and easy gratification about pop punk. That I find those songs like, it's not that they're easy to write. It's just that they're pleasing to write, I guess is more what it is. You just know you're writing something that's catchy and that people are going to relate to. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But yeah, I have other bands now, and I don't always write pop punk, but it was so fun to do the Unlovables again. There's like nothing more fun than just writing like a simple song and the topics have changed. I mean, I'm older now than I was when we first put out an album, and I would feel stupid writing songs that were like, do you want to go to the dance with me? You know, because I'm not, I think there are some like older pop punk bands that kind of never let go of like those classic like pop punk topics. I think like the new record has maybe in terms of subject matter, maybe tries to tackle some different stuff, but it's still, I don't know. It's still that same catchy, simple, accessible.
So you would say it is an adherence to the pop punk style, but with a mature angle, you would say, or a more mature angle, at least.
I mean, there's still a song about like the first time I made out with my husband on a dance floor. I'm not tackling like super like philosophical topics, but there's some. I would say the lyrics definitely. I don't know. I'm an adult, so there are lyrics written by an adult.
You talk about 1996. We're going to play that in a minute. That's about the first time that you made out with your husband on a dance floor, as you said.
It is.
PDA, where do you stand? Obnoxious or a wonderful expression of the beauty of human existence?
I have to go with the second. I mean, if it's like, and I'm not saying that I don't occasionally roll my eyes at a couple that like has their tongue down each other's throats on a park bench, but it's, if I don't like it, I don't have to look at it. I think it's beautiful. People are just feeling it, and it's got to happen where it's got to happen, especially in New York City, where we are always out on the street. You know, we don't often have our cars to duck into and make out in like in other cities. We just like, we got to let it all hang out here in New York. So you often see people just making out on street corners or in the subway station. And I think it's great.
Well, there are many photogenic places to make out in New York. So if someone snaps a pic, it looks, you know, fit for a postcard. You know, you talked about how pop punk is a joyous thing for you. I'm of the opinion that all pop punk springs from the Ramones, even though the Ramones aren't necessarily a pop punk band. Do you agree or do you disagree? There's no wrong answer. You do agree.
Yeah.
So and here's why I want to address this. And we don't need to get too heavy or too philosophical. But the Ramones, one of the greatest bands of all time. If you said they're the greatest bands of all time, I wouldn't disagree with you. But the Ramones are very, very dark. If you listen to songs like 53rd and 3rd, if you listen to Commando, if you listen to Nachi Shotzi, whatever song that is, Here Today, Tomorrow, the World, there's an incredible darkness in the Ramones.
Yeah.
Do you have that dark side too because you do pop punk?
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, my angstiest stuff, I maybe choose not to share in my music. But definitely, like, I think it's interesting that pop punk kind of got away from that, because you're totally right. When the Ramones started playing that kind of music and they really, like, founded that, right? Like, they really, like, found that planet and, like, stuck their flag right in. That was them. They invented that. But you're right. It was really dark. And I think it's interesting that I do think pop punk kind of like got away from that, where it was like everything had to be very cheerful and really naive. In a way, I think definitely some bands felt like it was this defining thing to have pop punk be about like, yeah, like ooh, shalala, you know, I saw you at the candy store, you know, like that kind of stuff. But I think it's really cool. That's one of the reasons why I really liked that later, like, Descendants record, because it was so interesting to me to hear a pop punk record that was, like, about divorce and, you know, like, grown-up shit. Because I think you're right. It's, like, if you're looking at the Ramones as the grandpappies of pop punk, they certainly didn't establish some rule where it couldn't be about things that are, like, super, super sad or super heavy.
Well put, Haley. Well put. I'll say. I think we'll have to fight back against the darkness with 1996. I think it's a great song. Haley, it's on Whoa-Oh Records, I believe. Correct?
It is. It's on Whoa-Oh Records. And you know, in a way, it's about having gone through a lot of shit and then meeting someone that kind of reminds you of a time when you felt more innocent and naive about things. So I think it has both the dark and the light.
Well put. This is 1996, about Haley making out with her husband on a dance floor. And, oh, I wanted to talk about, well, we'll talk about that when we come back, maybe. Anyway, this is 1996 by The Unlovables. Great track, great album, Split with Dirt Bike Annie. Let's check it out. And We Are Back, and that was 1996 by The Unlovables with Haley Bolite, Mikey Yerg, Fid, and Frank, correct?
It is correct, except it's actually just Bolite.
Oh, it is Bolite. I thought it was Bolite. Oh, it's Bolite.
No, just Bolite.
Oh, I apologize, Haley. I was going to ask you, would you use the name Haley Bolite as a punk rock name, as a punk rock pseudonym?
I don't even have to. That's just the name they gave me.
Well, fair enough. Anyways, let's get the show started. This is the Fest Takeover Edition. So, I mean, Haley, what are the bands to see at Fest this year? What would you like to see? Because you're playing. We should mention that the Unlovables are playing at Fest this year. Which day?
We're playing on Sunday.
They're playing on Sunday. Haley, what are the bands to see at Fest during the Fest long weekend?
Oh, there's so many. That's hard. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Caves, because they're a band that I got into sort of since, partially because of Fest last year. Lou from Caves filled in with Reviver, and they mentioned on stage that she had another band, and I checked them out, and have since become obsessed. So I'm really excited to see Caves. I'm really excited to see Beach Slang, although to be honest, I may not actually see them because I think they might be playing at the same time that my husband is doing a Smiths cover band set. But hopefully I can at least catch part of them. I'm super excited to see Cayetana because I've only seen them once and I'm a huge fan. Always look forward to seeing Underground Railroad and Toys That Kill at Fest. That's just like, it wouldn't be Fest without those two bands. So yeah, I always freak out during those sets pretty much every year. I don't know who is anyone else excited to see? There's so many good people playing this year.
Adam, who are you seeing? Because you're going to be
You know, I had so much trouble whittling it down just to answer this question. There's so many. And for anybody I don't mention, I want to see you too. But a lot of you do play at the same time. On Halloween night, at the end of the night, Kepi Ghouli and Mean Jeans are playing a set together.
Oh, that's going to be so fun.
How do you not go to that? How do you not see Nightbirds? How do you not see War on Women? Or As Friends Rust, who's like an old 90s Kid Dynamite style hardcore band from Florida who hasn't played together in Florida in something like 15 years. So
was As Friends Rust the band that went on to become Salem, or the guy who became Salem?
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know.
I'm going to Google
the answer to that question.
Hmm.
But there's just a ton of bands playing.
It's kind of overwhelming to even talk about.
Listen, people, first of all, Nightbirds, the new album kicks ass. This is going to be the set. This is going to be one of the sets. Let's see. I would say top five sets. Nightbirds, they're going to bring down the house. I mean, they're just a phenomenal old school punk rock band. Haley mentioned the Chris Gethard and Mikey Erg Smith's cover set. I mean, honestly, that's kind of like the best part of festivals for me, are like the unique shows that you're probably never going to see again. That's going to be an amazing set. You know, I mean, it's so perfect because Chris Gethard is a huge Smiths fan, and I think he's got two Morrissey tattoos, right, Haley?
He has Morrissey's signature tattooed on his arm, and he has a Smiths lyric on another arm. Yeah,
yeah. I'm
on the same arm, rather. They're both on the same arm.
Haley, are you a Smiths and Morrissey fan too, or you're not really a fan?
Well, that's huge. I mean, that's why we're called the Unlovables. We're named after the Smiths song "Unlovable."
I'm always fighting with the punks. The punks hate Morrissey, but I think Morrissey is so punk rock. Like, I mean, like, not that you have to agree with everything that he says, but he's strict vegetarian. He's anti-gender stereotypes. He's anti-sexual stereotypes. He's anti-capitalism. I don't know how you get more punk rock than that. I mean, seriously.
No, I agree. And not only that, but I have been vegetarian for more of my life than I ever ate meat for. And it is very specifically because Morrissey said not to eat meat. So I take my Morrissey very seriously. I was young and impressionable at the time that I made that decision, but I'm actually like really happy being vegetarian. So thank you, Morrissey, for that. Totally punk rock because he's doing his own thing. He doesn't give a shit. He'll say whatever he wants. I think ultimately at the end of the day, that's like punk rock. You just say what you want. He doesn't care what like corporations he pisses off or like anybody. He just doesn't care. He's just fully himself. I think that's pretty punk.
Can we just spend a minute and to geek out about the song Such a Little Thing Makes Such a Big Difference, where it's about people getting beat up by bicycle, like gangs attacking people with bicycle chains. Like, that is like a Motorhead song sung by like Tom Jones. It's a wonder. I love how Morrissey has like these sweet, beautiful melodies, and the underlying message is like the most horrible message you could ever hear.
Those are some of my favorite songs where you're like, you're ready to like dance and sing along. And then you kind of realize the words that are coming out of your mouth and you're like, wait a minute. But I think that juxtaposition is rad. I love when songwriters do that.
I love when he's like swinging a bicycle chain. Anyways, Kepi Ghoulie with Mean Jeans. Adam Eisenberg is right. I saw Kepi Ghoulie with Mean Jeans. They're going to blast the house down. You've got to see that set. But I mean, also, the lesser known band, a band called Chodo Ghetto, super weird hardcore band. It's like if Frank Zappa did hardcore, you want to check that band out. Adam, what, you got any picks or anything?
Yeah, I mean, this was easier for me because I'm not going to be there this year, so I didn't have to actually make any of these choices myself, so I can just list things and they have no consequence on my life. But if you're looking for it, and I'm gonna wear this hat, the... If you're looking to see a bunch of like really cool Canadian stuff that is not maybe necessarily in Florida all the time, there's a lot of it that's at this fest. You have Crusades playing one of the days. You have Crusades, I want to say cartoon metal hobbit core band offshoot Black Tower playing one of the days. You have KJ Jansen from Chicks Dig It playing an acoustic set on one of the days, which would be amazing, and I would go see that anywhere. And the Steve Ademic band out of Ottawa is there. The Dirty Nil from Hamilton are down there. So there's lots of Pop, of course, is down there playing a big one of the big shows. So yeah, there's lots of cool Canadian stuff if you actually want to get out and see that. Although I was looking through the list, and the one thing that sort of jumped out to me, and this is just sort of like I have not read this band's name, I think, on Punk News in the past 2 or 3 years because they're not doing anything. But the last time I was at Fest, I saw them, and I was having a lot of fun, was Ninja Gun. So go see Ninja Gun and, you know, dance around to the, you know, Darwin Was a Baptist, because I haven't heard about that band in a long time. And
that's an old suburban home band, right?
Maybe. Yeah, they were about that era, at least. I don't remember who released their records, though. But they did kind of like a alt country-ish thing. Anyways, though, they've played Fest a whole bunch, but I don't think they tour that much these days or they're that active. So, yeah, go see Ninja Gun.
Listen, though, with Fest, I mean, a part of it is like the crazy things that happen at Fest, too. Like, there's the famous Painted Black trailer show where Painted Black, they weren't even scheduled to play Fest. They pulled up, I think they played like 40 seconds or something, and then the police showed up in the riot gear on horses and like shut the show down. I think there's a famous.
I was there.
Adam Eisenberg, what went down? Was it like complete anarchy, or was it like not that crazy?
So inside like the big venue about an hour before this happened, Dan Yeaman was walking around handing out flyers that basically said, meet us in the parking lot in a half hour or something.
Did it say meet Painted Black, or did it just say
Meet us? It said something like, you know, meet Painted Black in the parking lot in an hour. I have it somewhere in my house.
That's cool. That's cool.
And so, you know, when they tell you to meet them in the parking lot in a half hour, you listen. So we went out to the parking lot and this like U-Haul pulls up and they open the back of it. And there's like, they pull out like amps and drums and a generator. And, you know, they're like going to do it right there in the parking lot. And there's kind of a mass of people around the U-Haul. And they fire up the generator and they hit like the first note of the first song. And everybody just like rushes towards them. And the generator, you know, falls over and comes unplugged and just, it was sort of like chaos, but not particularly dangerous chaos. Then some dudes started doing like flips off the top of the U-Haul, which is a little dangerous. And then like 50 cops on horses showed up and they didn't arrest anybody or anything. They just were kind of like dispersed and people dispersed.
Adam Eisenberg, from the ground view perspective, were the cops good guys in that situation, stopping people from getting hurt, or were they bad guys killing all the fun?
So, you know, I kind of understand what they're doing, but like, I obviously hate to see any sort of show broken up. but they didn't come in, you know, it wasn't like reading, you know, Get in the Van, where they come in with the billy clubs and start knocking people around just, you know, for the hell of it. It's they dispersed it because they kind of had an obligation to disperse the crowd. But the cops there generally seem to do pretty well with the fest folks. And actually, I interviewed one for a story I did a few years ago.
That's interesting. That's really interesting.
I interviewed the spokesperson for the Gainesville Police Department and asked him about fest and all that. And what he actually said was, the fest people are so much nicer, so much better, treat the town so much better than the average college football away team crowd that comes in to play the Gators on a given weekend. Those people fucking trash the place.
My belief in the punkers has been lifted, I will say. Haley, how about you? Do you have any good fest memories or any bad fest memories?
Well, I do want to say I was at a house party that was once broken up by the cops on horseback. And it was like one of the most surreal things that's ever happened to me. Like, those horses are really like quite huge. And by the time you put like a large policeman on top of it, it's just like unbelievably, like actually kind of scary when there's like just a number of them coming down the street at you. And I felt a little bit like, it was a little bit like the Ringwraiths in like Lord of the Rings or something. It was like this very strange memory of seeing the, yeah, all of just many, many mounted policemen is really, really strange thing. But good memories. I think one of my favorite sets I've ever seen at Fest is a little bit random. I don't know how many other people would agree with me, but I fucking loved seeing Snuff at Fest. I was
there.
Okay. I kind of lost my shit. If you were there, I may have grabbed you and just sang song lyrics into your face because I like actually lost my mind during that set. It was so good.
So did you feel like there weren't enough people there? Like, where are all you people? Snuff is playing.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. But it was kind of fun actually, because for me, it was like, it actually was like the pit wasn't so crazy that I couldn't be in there, which I was surprised at. So I got to sort of jump around and I had my arms thrown around strangers and everyone was singing. So while I for them, I guess I would have wished for a bigger crowd. For me, it actually worked out quite nicely.
Yeah, I kind of feel exactly the same way. Like, people were dancing around. It's like there was a small group of people that were super pumped Snuff was playing, and at least they got to have a good time.
Yeah, like the people that were up front, like they like it mattered to them, right? Like they cared that Snuff was playing. I don't know. It was like really like one of my better memories of ever being down there, and I've been down there like a lot. So it was really, really good. I think also, and I don't know if you guys have this, like sometimes I enjoy seeing a band live so much when I actually just haven't listened to their records in a really, really long time. Because it wasn't like I was still listening to my Snuff records, but they'd meant a lot to me at the time. So it's like every new song they'd play, I'd be like, oh my God, I love this one. Like every new song they played, it's like it had been several years like since I'd even heard it. It was like I just kept remembering how good their music was, and it was, yeah, it was transcendent. It was so awesome.
Adam White, you've been to Fest.
Just the once I made the trip down, I think it was Fest 10, which would have been 2011 or so. My big thing about that fest, and it was, I think this was because I was there with a bunch of, this was back when I know that Justin August, our past editor, was living in Philly at the time. I don't know if Brian Yancey, former Punk News editor, had yet relocated there. But this was the big like Philadelphia is becoming super popular party where, you know, you would go and you'd see, I think this was like we saw like the Menzingers right at, and this would have been right after Chamberlain Waits came out. But the Menzingers played 8 Seconds the one night to like a crowd that was kind of like really tuned in that like this band was about to really blow up, but was, you know, but they weren't there yet, like at least as far as popularity. But, you know, everyone in the room knew it. Restorations was sort of the same thing. That was the big Restorations coming out show, if you ask me, when they played Lucy's the one night, where the place was just packed and falling over each other. And, you know, none of us had even thought to go to that show, but it was the kind of thing where Justin had to twist our arms and go like, hey, there's this band that's playing that really sounds like the Constantines. You should go see them. And there was a lot of that. Like, there was a lot of Philly that was happening at that fest that I really liked. I've told my like wacky post fest story, and that like that was our, you know, we're wandering around the streets on Sunday after all of the bars criminally closed, and we run into Youth Brigade on the street who's looking for booze. But you know, it was, I need to get back. My brain is fading from what actually went on there. And I went and I just like pulled up the Fest 10 schedule on like the Wayback Machine because it's not available anymore on the actual website. And I'm looking at half these set lists, and there's bands that are playing there that I know now that I did not know at the time. And it's actually driving me sort of crazy to look at this because I'm like, oh, fuck, I could have went and saw the Screaming Females.
Damn.
I didn't know they were there.
That band
Shit.
Rules, man. That band
right?
rules.
Like stuff like that. So I should stop looking at this because it's bumming me out.
Well, anyways, let's reverse bumming people out. Haley, you got a cool track for us. What track you want to play? What tune do you want to enlighten the kids to?
Maybe because we were just talking about snuff, maybe we should play a snuff song. There's so many, I don't know how I would choose. All right, I'll do Nick Motown. That's a crowd pleaser.
Fantastic. This is Nick Motown by Snuff. We are back. Adam White, every year we like doing the bets, and I was way off last year. The 2016 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees have been named, have they not?
They have. This is the nominees list. This is not the inductees list, correct?
Indeed.
Like, there's someone's voting on this. I don't know who, but someone is.
I know who.
Like the Coca-Cola Corporation, like who votes on this?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was set up by Jan Wenner of, not just Jan Wenner, but he's one of the guys of Rolling Stone magazine. The people that vote is a list of people selected by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, from journalists to music reviewers to fellow artists, and they all cast votes, and that's how it comes out.
To the boards of major soft drink companies. I don't know if that's actually true, but okay, anyways. So yeah, the 2016 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees have been announced. Speaking of Morrissey, the Smiths are on this year. So, and I think that's really the one that that jumped out and grabbed, I think, the punk news worlds more than anything. But the list has a bunch of people that have played, that have affected the music that you listen to, if you're a punk rock fan, or at least have been also on the radio. So we're looking at The Cars, Chic, Chicago, Cheap Trick, Deep Purple, Janet Jackson, The JBs, Chaka Khan, Los Lobos, Steve Miller, Nine Inch Nails, NWA, The Smiths, as we previously said, The Spinners, and the most punk rock band of all, Yes. So that's the list, John. Any of this pop out to you? Any of this, you know, resonating? I mean, as usual, this is a list of that seems to sort of span time, where you have bands that are, you know,
Deep Purple against NWA.
Yeah, like you get you, or I mean, even, you know, do we need to talk about, you know, inducting Nine Inch Nails until we've talked about inducting The Smiths? Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's always just like jumbled and out of order as to how things actually happen in the real world. But I don't know. What do you think, John?
Well, first of all, the question we discussed this last year, is it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or is it the Popular Music Hall of Fame? Frankly, I'm more comfortable with the Popular Music Hall of Fame, and I guess we just call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because, I mean, is Chic, is that rock or funk? I mean, NWA is not rock. NWA is hip-hop. But how about Chic? Is that funk or rock? You know, so, I mean, I think it should just be the Popular Music Hall of Fame, and maybe we call it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? I think the Smiths will not get in this year, just because everyone loves the Smiths, but honestly, the Smiths, no one knows who they are outside of hip music people. I think this year there really is a neck and neck for a lot of these groups. The JBs, who people might know, that's James Brown's instrumental backing band. Fred Willis, Fred Wesley, rather. Who else is in there? Catfish Collins. A lot of famous musicians. They probably won't get in, even though they should. I think the Spinners will. They were up on the slate last year. Spinners are a famous funk or soul band, Rubber Band Man, but also they do an awesome version of Sam Cooke's Cupid that merges into Working My Way Back to You. NWA is definitely going to get in this year because there's been so much hype around them. Cars are definitely going to get in this year because they're the Cars and they're kind of like a quintessential 70s rock band. I think Chicago is going to get passed over. Oh, Cheap Trick's definitely going to get – Cheap Trick has it. I'm like naming all the bands. So here's my six bets are the following. NWA, the Cars, Chic. The reason Chic's going to get in is because, you know, Niles Rogers is really popular right now. Cheap Trick, I got one left. Ooh, man. Not Los Lobos, not Chaka Khan. Probably Steve Miller Band because Steve Miller Band is great, even though everyone hates Steve Miller. I think they're great. So anyways, the point is, does the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame really matter? I mean, I don't know. I mean, for some reason, I do care if bands get in. I'm interested to see who gets in. But, I mean, it's really just a private organization. It's not like some governmental body, you know, that it just – I don't know. Adam Eisenberg, man, what's your bet?
My campaign for 2016 is called Anyone But Chicago.
Do you hate Chicago that much?
Chicago is really terrible. 25 or 6 to 4?
That's a great song.
Yeah, hold on. We're going to put in this Chicago thing here. The first Chicago record, the Chicago Transit Authority record, the one before Pizza Terra sort of took over as the guy.
I didn't know Pizza Terra was in Chicago.
Was he not? Am I thinking the right guy?
He might have been. I just didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just thought Chicago was like nine guys with horns.
No. So I know a weird amount about Chicago. At least I know more than I should about Chicago. But yeah, so Pizza Terra is the high-voiced, horrible mom music person that my mom would have listened to when I was a young person that completely turned me off of wanting to hear any music ever. So I don't like him. He wounds me in a way that... still leaving scars. But back in the Chicago Transit Authority record, that was mostly Robert Lamb, I think, that was doing the stuff. And that was when they were doing that jazzy. That's when they get oh God. Does anybody really know what time it is was on that record? You know, so I'm cool with Chicago Transit Authority, but yeah, I mean, after a certain point, fuck that band.
How about Saturday, 4th of July in the Park?
I'm cool with that. I can deal with that.
Haley, you sound like a big fan of Chicago. I'm a big fan of Chicago's greatest hits.
Yeah. I mean, I think the hits, I could definitely do without the later stuff, but I think some of those earlier hits, like those are, I think those are just undeniable. Those are classics. I guess I just love, I mean, it's like you're saying, it's not a government institution. It's just a private group of people deciding this. But I think I just like that all these bands aren't in it already. Like, I like that it's kind of hard and that you don't really know, like, who's going to get. I love that, like, Rick Ocasek, like, I love that he's, like, sweating it about whether he's going to get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or not. Like, I think that's cool. You look at this list and you just assume that Steve Miller is already in. I like that it's – I do like that it makes it kind of this really special thing, you know?
Haley, who are your five bets? Who do you think is going to get in? I think it's five. Isn't it every year five every year?
I don't know who's going to get in because I don't really understand always, like, the politics of, like, how they choose. And I'll tell you who I'd be rooting for, just personally in my heart.
Who are you rooting for?
I would want the Cars. I would definitely want Janet Jackson. I love Janet Jackson. I think she's awesome. The Smiths, absolutely. And what, I get two more? Yeah, you got to go with Chicago. That's a classic band, right? And then, I only get one more. This is hard. Yeah, NWA, right?
How awesome would it be to see Ice Cube up there on the
stand?
It'd
be so great.
Now, my question is, when they do that thing at the end of the ceremony where all the bands get out there together, like, will Steve Miller be playing, like, a guitar solo while Ice Cube raps or something?
I hope so.
Probably, and it'll be horrible, but you'll love it anyway.
How about Ice Cube with the JBs? That'd be cool.
That would be something. How about Ice Cube with Chicago?
You know, Ice Cube did record a song with Korn. They covered The Clash, and it's horrible. I'm a huge Ice Cube fan. I think Ice Cube's the greatest, but that is not a good cover. But
so if the Smiths get in, are they, like, what happens at the induction? Are they going to, like, bring out, like, Morrissey and Johnny Marr, two different boxes on either side of the stage?
I think Morrissey will
two pull different Pope mobiles.
I think Morrissey will pull a Johnny Rotten and not show. Don't you guys think so?
Definitely.
I could see that.
He's not a joiner, man.
And that's
why make an incredible amount of noise about it on the internet, though.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm looking forward to the most. I love Morrissey's press releases. They're, like, my favorite thing to read. Now, listen, speaking of press releases, Tsunami Bomb, a 90s and 2000s mainstay, they're back together. However, there's a slight modification of the band. The reunited band includes Dominic Davi, who's a friend of Punk News. There's going to be Brian Plink. There's going to be Gabe Lindemann. And on keyboards and co-lead vocalist will be Weeblet, who's an original member of the band. Who's not there is Agent M, Emily Whitehurst. And a lot of people, that caught a lot of people off guard. And I mean, I've got an opinion on that, but I would remind the group that she's not an original member, and the current group is the original group. I don't know if anybody's got any opinions on Tsunami Bomb. Is this Tsunami Bomb? Would you check it out? Are you guys Tsunami Bomb fans?
You know, I thought it was interesting. I'm not particularly into this band, but I thought it was very interesting that in the comments section, there was a lot of talk about, you know, which version of the lineup and this and that. And I get people being disappointed maybe that their particular version of the band isn't the band that's reuniting. But if people want to get together and play, get together and play, and for people to kind of begrudge them that is just silly.
Yeah, what do you think? Like, people get angry when bands reunite. I mean, what's the source of that anger?
I don't know. It's like, you stopped playing. How dare you start again? Who cares? Hooray!
People love to have something to be indignant about. It's so boring.
Haley, do you think there's any reunion that people would have a right to get angry? Like, for example, when I'm trying to think of, well, when Steve Ignorant of Crass was playing, people hated it. I thought it was awesome. I'm trying to think of anything I was angry about. I mean, do people – I don't know. I mean, can anyone think of a reunion that was clearly a cash-in? Refused. There you go. Haley, are you a Refused fan or not?
No, not really.
Do people ever have a right to get angry or annoyed that a band is back together, or is that a complete fallacy?
I mean, yeah, sure, you can get angry. I think just my personal opinion, I probably feel the same way about it as I do like public displays of affection. It's like if I don't like it and I don't want to see it, I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to go to that show. But I'm not going to get super irate. And with Adam, it's like if people want to get together and play the music they used to play. In fact, when I read this story, I tried to imagine what it would be like if I had asked, say, the Unlovables, if they wanted to do this new record, and if like Frank had said no, or if Mikey had said no, it would be like so sad. It'd be so sad if you were like excited to revisit a thing that had given you a lot of happiness at a time, and then one person was like, actually, I don't want to do that. It'd be really disappointing. So I don't know. I kind of feel for this band, and I think they should just do what they want. If people want to get angry about it, it's just, I don't know, just find more important things to be angry about.
The statement they made was incredibly diplomatic too. And they acknowledged in it that, you know, some people might not be cool with this if Agent M's not playing, but you know, the rest of us, we get that. We understand, but you know, we're going to do it. And I don't know, like I read their statement and there was nothing like acrimonious about it. Like I couldn't possibly be angry at it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, the fact that people have that opinion is odd, but hey, people have those opinions on the internet. I'm trying to think back to how big of a band Tsunami Bomb was back in the day. I remember seeing them at like Warped Tour in 2001 or something like that, and it was before their sort of main big record came out, and there was a ton of people that were into them. And I feel that, you know, whenever they were mentioned on punk news back in those early days, you know, people seemed to really be into the band, and way more so in retrospect, after they had broken up and after they had stopped being around, I think a lot of people looked back and were like, you know what? We didn't really care for the last record that they released or whatever, but you know, aw, we liked that band. And that's what seemed to happen. So I don't know. I think it's cool that they're back together. I think that the problem that they're going to have, and this is, I don't exactly know how you get around this outside of, I just talking about it on the internet a lot, is the fact that they're not going to be playing with M. Again, I don't think it matters. I think they're entirely entitled to, you know, play without her, but they're definitely going to have people walking into those shows expecting that she's there.
Do you think,
I don't know. And like then you have to deal with like sort of like a weird crowd expectation at every show, because you know a certain portion of the people are going to be walking in there to see like your very prominent front person, and that front person is not going to be there. And I don't know if that's going to, you know, lead to a lot of ill feelings or anything.
Yeah, I can't believe that some people still think Jello's the Dead Kennedys. Or like, I thought Jello was in the band. It's like some people just really are, I don't know, out to lunch when it comes to that kind of stuff. Listen, talking about bands are getting back together, though, things that were pro, Public Image, they're limited. They're back together for their second album on a reunion. They put out a new video. It's called The One, and it's actually quite – their first single was Double Trouble, which I loved, which was a super aggressive, a super jacked-up tune. This tune is kind of more laid back, more – I want to say more melancholy-ish, perhaps, or more introspective. Adam White, man, I know you're a big PIL fan. Where you stand on this track?
I like this. The people on podcasts that are commenting on it are nuts. this is, I mean, to me, this is Pill being more, this is more in the mode of, say, like some of the late 80s stuff that they put out. So this is more in line with, say, some of the melodic stuff that was on Album or on Happy or one of those records. And, you know, those, I really like Pill when they're doing this, you know, this rhythmic post rock thing that they do. And it's always, for this entire history of the band, it's, if you add it all up, there's been a lot less crazy discordant versions of this sound than there have been, you know, just kind of pleasantly new wave versions of this sound. So I was actually quite happy when I got to hear the new record that, you know, it wasn't all entirely like Double Trouble, which was, you know, pretty abrasive for a modern day Pill song. And they had, you know, lots of stuff that was like this too, because like, to me, this is sort of part of the mix that makes this band what it is that you have songs like this, and then you have songs that are a little bit crazier. So Yeah, I'm cool with this. I mean, like, the video itself is nothing all that interesting from like a filmographic standpoint, I guess. It's just more studio footage of them recording it, but, you know, who cares? But yeah, I mean, I like this song. People on punk news are dumb. That's what I'm going to say. Adam, you reviewed this, right?
Yeah, I did review this record.
Yeah, all right. So you're on my side here. Good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my feeling is similar to yours. I tend to gravitate more towards that discordant early Pill stuff. But, you know, this is very much part of their mix. And the fact that the new record is a pretty good encapsulation of kind of all of their eras, although with maybe a little less of the crazier of the discordant stuff, which is to be expected now that they're a little older and wiser. You know, I think that's a good thing.
I think it's just the makeup of the band at this point too. I mean, like, you don't have like Jaw Wobble playing bass anymore for you, right? Like, you don't have a lot of those early guys that were putting together that like really out there stuff. And that's, I don't know. I'm okay with it. So yeah, this is, I'm good. That's all I want to say. I just wanted to yell at people on punk news because it's so predictable. All the comments are like John Lydon is old, blah. Like,
yeah, he's old.
That
he's
was
old.
Essentially the criticism. So I don't know.
Haley, do you have a perspective on this track? Are you a John Lydon fan?
I'm a huge fan. Yeah. I didn't like this track. I didn't like it at all.
Too mellow?
Just not a good song to me. To me, it's just not something I wanted to hear. But I do. I get so angry when people dismiss an artist because they're old. Like, it kills me. So yeah, I mean, whatever. I love that he's still making music. I love that he's, you know, I loved seeing the video footage. I loved seeing him still just being an artist and doing his thing. Like, am I going to download this song? No, but like, that's fine. He didn't make it for me then. It's just not my thing, you know?
Actually, you know, Haley, you bring up a good point. As an artist, do you feel as though an artist owes the audience anything at all? Like, does the audience the audience a good time? Or should the audience consider themselves lucky enough just to be able to see what the artist is doing or hear what the artist is doing?
Yeah, I mean, I think if as an artist you feel like you owe people something, I don't know, that's complicated. You do in a way, but also you are at the end of the day, you're doing it for you. I don't know exactly where I stand on that because it's really complicated.
Well, fair enough. Haley, speaking of artists that are complicated, do you have another track to enlighten the punk news audience with?
Yeah, well, because I hyped it so much before, I absolutely have to play a Cave song. I'm telling you, this is like, if I only had to listen to one song for the rest of my life, I really think it would be this song. And I've made Chris listen to it so many times that now he's like, loves it as well. We listen to this pretty much every time we get in the car. So this is Caves, and this song is so damn good, and it's called Build Against.
You know.
And that was Caves playing Build Against. Well, that about wraps up our podcast. We're gonna close out with one story, but I guess we'll wrap up before then. First of all, Haley Bullett, coolest name in punk rock, one of the awesomest bands right now, Unlovables. The new record is awesome. Check them out at Fest. Check out the new split with Dirt Bike Andy on Whoa Records. Haley Bullett, thank you so much for showing up, and thank you so much for your, I want to say, your masterful insight.
I love talking to you guys. Thanks for having me on the podcast.
And is so. Anything else you want the kids to know out there, Haley? Anything else you want them to know about the Unlovables, the LLC, or frankly, your awesome punk name, Haley Bullett? That really is a good, that really is a good punk rock name.
Is there anything else I want them to know? No, we're so proud of the new Unlovables record. So if people have any interest in listening to it, it's streaming for free on SoundCloud. That's pretty easy to find. And my new band, Hiccup, is going to be playing down at Fest as well. We're playing on Sunday on the same bill as like Rational Anthem and City Mouse and Boys and a lot of our bands that are our friends. So we're super excited about that.
Oh, and who's in Pickup and what's the Hiccup and what's that band like briefly?
Yeah, Hiccup is myself and Alex, who plays on the Chris Gethard show in the LLC with me. We were just having so much, you know, on the Chris Gethard show, we're generally playing like, you know, 15 seconds worth of music at a time. And he and I had so much fun just doing that together that we were like, well, we have to have like an actual band where we get to write actual songs. So Hiccup was born out of that. And we found our drummer Pial and they're like dolls. So fun to play music with these guys. So we cannot wait to get down to Fest.
Well, fantastic. Listen, people, you have got to check out Haley Bullett and her bands. Great. If you like up tempo, just kicking catchy punk rock, check it out. I'm telling you, you can't go wrong. Haley Bullett, Mikey Yerg, what a combo. What can I say? Adam White, the man of the people, the man of John Lydon. I feel as though it's us four versus the world when it comes to John Lydon. Why must we carry the shield of John Lydon with no allies to support us? Why, Adam? Why?
Because everyone wants to be cool. And when you want to be cool, you got to attack the king, you know.
Are we so do we not care about being cool so much that we're back to being cool again, or are we just dorks?
I think it's probably that we are hopelessly down a road that we're never going to recover from. So what do we possibly have to lose at this point?
Adam Eisenberg, our correspondent down there in Florida, where the crazy shit goes down, the alligators, the fried rattlesnake. Closing words about Fest. What do you have to say about Fest, closing it out?
You know, go to Fest. John, have you never been to Fest?
I have never been to Fest because I was out in Killicali for about 7 years. And I didn't even really know the punk news crew till about 2008 or so when I was out in Cali. And I'm back here now. And I mean, I don't know, man. Is 32 too old to go to my first Fest? You know what? I'm not 24. You know?
No, never too old.
John, tickets are still available for Fest.
I can't make it. Well, see, oh, here's the problem, though. For me, is World Inferno Hallowmass is always when Fest is, you know? So anyways, maybe I'll make it down next year. Listen, people, check out Unlovables. Check out Chris Gethard and Mikey Erg doing the Smiths. Two phenomenal sets. Check out Nightbirds. Check out War on Women. Going to be an awesome weekend. Check it out. And so let's close out with kind of a sad story. I wanted to close out with one of these songs. Listen, unfortunately, Steve McKay of the Stooges has passed away. I think that's our third Stooge in 3 years, leaving the only original Stooge, I think, is Iggy, and the only sort of original Stooge is Iggy and James Williamson. In case you don't know, Stooges are one of the most fantastic bands of all time, one of the greatest bands ever. Proto-punk, punk, last line of garage rock, whatever you want to call them. Some of the greatest music ever recorded. Steve McKay is the saxophone guy. He played one of the craziest, most banging rock saxes you've ever heard. What else can we say? That basically, my only wisdom is this: is if you have a chance to go see a legendary band, go see them because you never know when people are going to pass away. If you haven't talked to your grandma in a couple of weeks, go talk to your grandma because you never know when she's going to get snatched away. That goes for anybody. Love your loved ones. Go see the Stooges. Go see whatever punk rocker you think you should see. Don't pass up seeing them. go on 4 hours of sleep if you have to, because you know what? You're better off going on 4 hours of sleep and seeing the Stooges than having one night where you're well-rested and never seeing the Stooges. We're going to close out with a classic track by the Stooges, which features a little avant-garde, features Steve McKay prominently on sax. This is the Stooges doing L.A. Blues. See you next week.